AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we hit the midweek point of another busy week across Scottish football. Dave King says the Rangers takeover is 90% done and has circled June in the calendar for potential completion. Dyson Maeda, Callum McGregor, Simon Murray and Nectar Triantis make up the shortlist for the Football Writers Player of the Year, and it's advantage Ayr United after the first leg of the Premiership playoff. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, you've got Alex Ray and Simon Donnelly. How are you both?
Yeah, well? We're doing very well. Enjoying the golf season, Gordon.
Sun shining, bit of downtime.
Yeah.
You're both looking up, like, you're both looking like you've been out in
the last couple of days. I've caught a bit of colour.
I'm sensing that. I can see that out
down
and about.
John Hartson's Foundation Turnberry yesterday.
Good money very, raised very nice. for a good cause, was it?
Very nice day. Weather, sun was out. Beautiful.
Who were the big hitters? Who were the big names? Not to say that you're not one, of course. Just two else.
Just murdered them there.
John was there. Who else was there? Stylian Petrov. Big Charlie Mulgrew was there.
Martin O'Neill, was he?
I think Martin O'Neill, yeah, yes, okay. I forget Martin. He was there as well. I think Big Charlie Mulgrew came second. His team came second.
Shark. Absolute shark. Yeah. Anyway, right, get in touch with us tonight. Let us know what you're thinking. 01419511025. As we said in the headlines, Rangers fans, you're still, I'm sure, just searching for all those crumbs to suggest that things are moving in the right direction. Any update? You're done with this season a long time ago, judging by these phone lines. So you've had Dave King today coming out publicly and saying that takeover 90% done. So how encouraging is that? Is that just adding to your excitement about what could lie in wait? He did say probably June. Of course, these are complex situations. Don't quite know exactly what that means, but a very basic level, would you have hoped for sooner than that? I mean, it's next month, I guess, so it's not that far away. But would you have hoped for completion a bit sooner? What do you make of that June timeline? We all know how fast football moves. So what did you make of that update today, Rangers fans? What do you read into it? This was, of course, the week. I think we ended up getting a bit distracted last night. We didn't really get stuck into it, but of course there was then a report yesterday suggesting that any new Rangers manager will probably not be someone with a prior connection to the club. So all your thoughts please, 01419511025. Award season's great because everybody's got their opinion, and I know we've done it a bit for the PFA Scotland Awards as voted for by the players, but I suppose the best question is, who knows more? Is it the players or the journalists? Because they've gone Dyson Maeda, they've gone Callum McGregor, they've gone Simon Murray. So it's a very simple shortlist. However, they've included Nectar Triantis of Hibs instead of Nicholas Kuhn. So have they got it right or not? Do let us know what you think. Who knows more, the footballers or the journalists? That's going to be a hard choice. You can't be giving credit to Roger Hannah and Hugh Keevans, can you? You wouldn't be able to live with yourself. But at the same time, is that the sort of connoisseur's choice? I quite like that. I quite like Triantis.
Yeah,
no scratch beneath the surface.
Decent season, yeah.
Deserves a bit of recognition. So what do you make of that list? I was going to say who'll win it, but I think it's just the same as the weekend, isn't it? I think everybody knows it'll probably be Dyson Maeda. But what do you make of that shortlist? Have they got it right? Is that a better shortlist than the one the players come up with? Give us your thoughts. And be honest, what did you go for last night? Ayr at Partick Thistle or Inter Milan Barcelona? I need your honesty on the phones here, because there's only one winner for me, for goodness sake. The Maryhill Mourinho all day long. But what did you think? What did you go for? Did you go for Partick Thistle Ayr, or did you go for Inter Barcelona? And what was better? Come on, with a straight face, give us your thoughts.
I can't believe you're asking it.
On a more serious note, were you there? Were you at Fir Hill, or did you watch it? What did you make of it? Because we give the playoffs a big build up, and rightly so. We love them. Very important part of the football calendar. It is advantage Ayr. So what did you make of that game last night? 01419511025. I suppose what you could do, actually, here's one to tick along on Twitter, even if you don't want to do it in the phones. Last night did get me thinking, because it got all sorts of praise not that game, the other one, got all sorts of praise, and rightly so. So maybe just one for Twitter throughout the night. What is the best game you've ever seen as a neutral? Because I saw people putting it in that sort of category last night.
The two games over the away,
was it as good as that? Are we seriously in that type of realm? And if not, what was? You could just send us a tweet, just something to keep us entertained throughout the evening. How close did last night come to the best game of football you've seen as a neutral? So it can't include your team. And if it wasn't that, what one was it? Give us a tweet at Clyde SSB. But of course, if you'd rather join in on the phones, we'd be delighted to have you. 01419511025. Alex, we'll start with you. How's it been? We've had you on, of course, since you left Rangers. Has it now been a bit of space, a bit of time to sort of get back to normal and look back on how it was last time we had you? It was a bit fresh.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I've been busy around about the house. Been to Portugal 3 times now in the last 7 weeks.
He is busy.
Eight weeks, whatever it is. And playing a bit of golf. Played a wee 3-ball a couple of days ago. Stapleford came second, so that wasn't so bad. But in the main, I've not really paid a great deal of attention there, but at all, Gordon, I've tried to move on for it a little bit, tried not to be too judgmental about how it all panned out, and it doesn't benefit anyone in that respect. Obviously want the club to move on quickly. Some interesting stuff coming out with Dave King today, and I think it's important. You know, the fans are waiting patiently. You know, you were saying yesterday about a little snippet where the manager may not have a Scottish connection or a connection to the club, which is interesting in itself. Maybe a bit something different. And also, when you listen to Dave King today, the thing that sprung out was the time span in which he suggests it may well get done, which is about 5 or 6 weeks down the line. So for me, that's, you're thinking, right, okay, when do they appoint a manager? Who's going to be the one recruiting? Who's going to be the one who's going to say who's going, leaving the club as well? So obviously they brought in Kevin Fellwell, 2 weeks ago almost. So there's a lot of questions still unanswered. Season tickets season as well. You know, I think that's closed. So, there'll probably be a high take up on that, and it's kind of blind faith. There were some people who were getting disillusioned where the club was going, but with the new potential American owners, it's exciting times if they can get over the line with that.
See, when you were in the club, was that ever spoken about behind the scenes? Did you know that this was imminent, that it was coming down the tracks, or just hear about that the way everybody else does?
Yeah, pretty much so, Gordon. I'm not sure whether Philippe would have had more information, and he was obviously monitoring that with the hierarchy, but there was no suggestion that that was actually going to be happening anytime soon. And then obviously there was wind of it in the media, and you're thinking there must be more to this than that we're getting told at that particular time. And maybe there wasn't information to be had, because maybe it was early discussions. Due diligence would have been taking place as well in terms of what needed to be done at the football club. So I think all that would have been done. I think you asked about reflecting things. The one thing that was fairly evident was there was no structure within the club. You know, they lost James Bisgrove, and I don't want to regurgitate what I said the last time I came here, but all the main positions, I think one of the things I reading online today as well was that there would be a head of academy potentially coming in with Kevin from Everton. So that's exciting, because I've been pretty vocal about the academy over the years. I don't think it generates enough talent coming through and making an impact in the first team. So that'll be something that I'll keep an eye on also.
Yeah, what do you think, Rangers fans? Dave King today saying the takeover 90% complete. Does that encourage you, excite you? I don't know what the word would be. You tell us. And he's thinking about maybe June. What do you make of that time frame? Give us a call, please. 01419511025. James is going to kick things off from a Celtic perspective first, though. Take it away, James.
Hi, panel. How are you doing?
Good, James. What's your point tonight, James?
What it is you know how this game's coming up on Saturday, Celtic versus Hibs. I think it's Brendan Rodgers should play half of the young boys, because we don't want to get an injury to any of our main players for this cup final.
Ooh, interesting. What do you think, Simon? That's one for you, I suspect.
I think there'll be changes, yeah. I think, what is there, 4 games left in the league? 3, 4?
4.
I think Brendan himself came out and said that the focus now, it was well documented, Dyson in media, went home, his wife was due to give birth, and he was home last week, and I thought it was probably one of his quieter games at the weekend, you can understand. And I think he gave him licence to go back as well, which I think, I don't know if he's chose to go or not. But I think there'll be situations there. He spoke about Carter Vickers with a bit of a niggle as well. I think these players will all be rested. I think the focus now for Celtic is the cup final and the treble. So I wouldn't expect any risk taken with anybody. You know, the two white, obviously Jota's out for a while, Kuhn had an injury at the weekend. I think these boys will be rested and given all the time to get fresh and ready
for the final.
For the final.
What about the youth coming through? They brought the young boy on at the weekend.
That's the thing, isn't it? Because, you know, Alistair Johnson is... he's the one that's officially been managed, if you like. You know, he didn't play at the weekend because the cup final's round the corner.
Yeah.
But it's all right saying Carter Vickers won't play. Does that just mean that Austin Trusty does? Do you know what I mean? And if Rio Hatate doesn't play, does it just mean that Paolo Bernardo does? I think James would be like to see...
Yeah, for younger players, I don't know, because there's not been a great deal of youth. I mean, you're talking about the youth at Rangers. There's not been a lot knocking at the door. I think guys like Bernardo might get a bit of game time again, looking for preparation for... the cup final that's three games away. In a perfect world, it'd be great to get the youngsters in, but I don't think, I mean, there's a young boy Mikado on the bench at Ibrox at the weekend that I don't know much about, but there hasn't been many there really knocking at that door, which is a wee bit frustrating, because like Alex says with Rangers, the fans always like to see young boys coming through, and that hasn't really, that streamline hasn't been as much in recent times. Celtic have got a very strong squad. You can always look at two for each position, and it's difficult for the youngsters to get through.
It feels like they're both, if we lump them together, Alex, it is difficult, because if Celtic do it in the next couple of games, people say maybe it's a token chance here or there, because the league's wrapped up and there's nothing to play for. On the other hand, maybe if Rangers have done it a bit more in recent weeks, similarly, you say, well, Would you have done that? You know, if the pressure was on, if you were still in a title race, would you have done it anyway? So,
I think. I agree with James. I actually think it's a perfect opportunity to give kids an opportunity. Yeah, but without doubt, particularly at Parkhead, you'll have a lot of the ball as well.
Yeah.
You know, but even when you look at the Celtic squad currently, you know, we're obviously trying to kind of pick one or two kids who may well come in at the weekend, as James suggested. But you've still got Callum McGregor. James Forrest is one of the most, if not the most, decorated Celtic player.
And he needs his goal.
Anthony Ralston as well.
He needs his goal, so he'll need to play at some point. Yeah. James, though, have you seen, are there enough in and around the squads anyway to suggest that they suddenly do get a chance? Would we not have maybe seen them chapping at the door a bit more throughout the season? Can you hear us, James? I think you're still there. I think I can hear you.
Yeah.
Hear us all right, yep.
Can hear you.
Good stuff, right, sorry, take it away. I was just saying, do you think, you know, the early, even earlier in the season, is there enough out there to suggest that there are players close to the first team squad?
See a young boy getting in there, young John Kenny getting another game for them.
Yeah.
So I'd like to know if James gets a game, because he wants to score that important goal, didn't he?
Yeah.
Johnny Kenny's week could have looked a lot different if Dyson Maeda just rolled him the ball.
Do you know something? I'm watching the game, and the way Maeda's seasons went, I'm firmly believe he's going to slot it, and then he opts to go. And it was only when I watched it back, I'm like, he could roll that. He could roll the lad in. He could.
It was very unorthodox what he tried to do, wasn't it? It didn't seem more natural.
Yeah. That's the type of decision you make when you're just off a flight from Japan, I think.
Well, I think
isn't
Brendan touched on it as well. He says, we'll allow him.
Because the legs still worked to get him there, but you're right, he was never going to be able to drag it around, was he?
And it's easier saying it after the event.
Of course,
I did look at the and I thought, just you could roll the boy in, and he's maybe slotting one for the winner,
funny,
effectively.
To combine it with James's point, though, like these little moments in football, I have absolutely no doubt if he just touches it to the side and Johnny Kenny just rolls in a simple 10-yard open goal finish, we then get calls all week saying Johnny Kenny should start the game next weekend. Yeah. Look, he's taking his chance, he's got his goal.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't do anything different, essentially. He just didn't get that pass.
Didn't get the opportunity.
But James is saying maybe he could be one. I suppose he would. But I suppose what I'm trying to say is I'm struggling to think of too many others.
Yeah, I am as well. And that's what I'm trying to answer James as best as possible. But I do think there'll be a lot of changes over the three games, because, you know, the cup final is the most important. And as I say, guys like Bernardo, who haven't had a lot of game time, maybe just give them a wee bit more in the legs, a wee bit more competition for the final. And as James touches on there as well, and you have as well, Forrest will be desperate for that goal.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm sure he'll get the opportunity.
It's interesting in terms of as a former player, there was times over the manager goes, "I want to rest you," And in my mind, Sid, I don't know what you were like, but I was one of the guys that always wanted to play. Yeah. Always. And it was partly, and I think Callum McGregor falls into that category as well. You look at 50 odd games a season for years now, and he never wants to take that break because psychologically, if you think, oh, I'm going to be sitting on the bench for a couple of weeks, I won't be fresh when it comes to the final or the game that matters. Yeah,
it's a great point from James because it opens up, like, you know, very wide discussion that we could probably do from now until 8 o'clock about standard coming through and what clubs need to do and then what grassroots looks like and are they good enough or are they just not given the opportunities that, look, there's loads in there. So to try and sort of simplify it though, Simon, do you think if James is talking specifically about Celtic, do you think they are in a bit of a difficult spot right now where the balance between trying to promote some youth players and bring them through academy players versus that constantly trying to really strive to be, because we've spoken about it's before difficult. We're now in an environment where trebles are like expected and then Champions League progression's next. So as an example, some people might say that in January you had a really good chance to not sign Jeffrey Schlupp. Greg Taylor plays at left back and you've got a left back in your academy that goes in there and, you know, and competes for that. But again, rightly, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but that's not the option taken. Jeffrey Schlupp comes in and he's got English Premier League experience and he even played in the Champions League. Do you know what I mean? It feels like Celtic, and I'm not saying it's wrong, but it feels like they're a way off of somebody coming in and getting serious minutes.
I think it's very difficult nowadays because, as I said, the strength of the squad, as you rightly say, they're bringing in Schlupp, who's an experienced guy, who's played in the Premiership, you know, to go and compete with Taylor in that position. Again, the other side of that is Brendan Rodgers will be fully aware with his staff what he's got there. So, I mean...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe there's nobody that's good at... So I get
maybe
that.
Maybe there's nobody just quite ready to make that step at the moment.
Then the next question,
I just think it's very difficult in these...
People then say, like, you know, how not or why not, which is understandable as well, isn't it?
I know, and listen... I don't think there's anything better than watching a young lad come through. I was a young boy myself at Celtic at one point and I got my opportunity. But the Celtic team at the time were struggling. So did I get my opportunity earlier than possible?
The landscape's changed, Sid, as well. Because what's happening as well, there's teams from down south and abroad who are actually cherry picking the better ones from Rangers and say, like Billy Gilmore, and there's been a couple from Celtic that's went over was it Bayern they went to?
Yeah, the start, yeah.
So they lose these guys at a young age.
Because if we're talking specifically Celtic, logically you might say, well, they're three up in every game or you're comfortable in every game, use that opportunity
to bleed in.
Maybe they are so good, maybe they are so dominant, is because it is Paulo Bernardo that's in reserve, you know, it is Jota or whatever that's in reserve. That's how you then become as good a version of yourself as they are.
Yeah,
that allows them to be 3-0 and 4-0 and 5-0 up in every game. So it seems like a rock and a hard place
to Postecoglou's time that round about that 60 minutes, three or four come on and there's no drop in the quality. But as I said earlier on, in an ideal world, you know, and I think Celtic will be working hard behind the scenes as well, Rangers too, you would want some of your own to come through at some point.
I think you've actually seen that recently as well. I think Bailey Rice has come into the mix in the last couple of weeks. So, you know, that'll be a good experience for Bailey.
That's a good point, James. One we could do a whole show on. But let's crack on. 01419511025, whatever it is that's on your mind tonight. It can be that, it can be that takeover update that we heard from Dave King today. It can be last night's game. I'm still looking for those tweets. Did you watch Thistle and Ayr over Inter and Barca? I want to know who you are, because you deserve a mention. True supporters of Scottish football. And how close did that come, if you didn't, if you managed to watch the other one in Europe, how close did that come to the best game as a neutral you've ever seen? And if it wasn't that, what was? Send us a tweet and we'll get you on the phones next.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Alex Ray are here. It's 0141-951-1025. 1025. Give us a call, let us know what you're thinking tonight. I did also say, just for a bit of fun, I want to know who out there, who was true to our game, who stuck with Partick Thistle against there rather than Inter Barca, and how close was that to being the best kind of neutral game that you've seen? And if it wasn't that, then, you know, give us your suggestions. I should have known though. Like, I should have known. You forget, because I've got Celtic fans tweeting in Rangers 0 Queen's Park 1 is the best game they've seen, and I've got Rangers
what's that scene?
I've got Rangers fans saying Porto against Celtic in 2003 was the best they've seen. I should have known.
Predictable.
However, some have taken on the challenge quite rightly. Scotty Boy's a Rangers fan, but he's got great taste. Motherwell 6, Hibs 6.
Oh, was that game?
How could you look beyond it?
It was incredible. Absolutely incredible.
What about before your time? 1991.
Well, funnily enough, there was a St Mirren fan.
I was there.
A St Mirren fan. In fact, stmirren.info, to be precise, says for them, the 91 Scottish Cup final was the best they've seen. 4-3.
I was there.
There you go. Oh, I like this from the sober one, quite a recent one, actually. France-Argentina, last World Cup final.
Good game.
That was incredible, great actually, game. Wasn't it? And everything that was on it about Messi.
Had to finish that
stuff.
Way, but great game.
That was incredible. Tam was another one thrown in, Hibs Motherwell. And Steph says he had the Barca game on the telly and the Jags game on the phone. BBC iPlayer. There we go. A man of taste. Give us all your thoughts, please, at Clyde SSB, or give us a call, 01419511025. I did say it's not been the busiest day, but still, you always get the odd update here and there across Scottish football. We had the update from Dave King today, Rangers fans, 90%. The takeover, he rates it at 90%, so not a certainty, but nearly there. And June, go for that. Let us know what you are thinking. Simon Donnelly and Alex Ray are here. What one did you watch, by the way? Are you still down at the Skill
down,
Golf
so
Day? I could excuse
I
that,
left
yeah.
Mm-hmm. The hotel.
Don't believe
Barcelona
you.
Had just scored to make it 3-2, and I was no sooner in the car and it went 3 each, and I listened to the extra time on the way up the road. So I was gutted because I really like that Barcelona team. And obviously,
did you say you really like that Air United team?
Well, my old team as well, Partick. My mate was at the game. I was speaking to him this morning, and he says it's not good for his health watching Partick at the moment. He went through the mill, but he's going down to Somerset to watch it on Friday as well.
I watched the Partick Thistle game. I have
see,
to say,
that's why I like you. A student of our game.
Stupid, a student. I don't know what one that was. After 70 minutes, I text my mate. I was really painful to watch, and the level was difficult. The referee spoiled it for me as well. The amount of yellow cards he was dishing out for basically nothing, stopping and starting the game at will. So I found it difficult to watch, but I did watch it to the end.
And that's all we ask for—a bit of commitment. Listen, it was tight. It was nervy.
Still alive.
It was
tight,
cagey.
Yeah. Yep, still alive.
It just so happened to go up against that other game as well. So 0141951. 1025 on the phones. It's really up to you. There's a bit of a blank slate. We've even had a Celtic fan on looking at the rest of the season, wondering about young players getting a chance and all that sort of stuff. Here's one. This show has told me this week, above it every other week, that you just don't know what direction you're going to go in, and you mention one little thing and it can take off. So Michele is an Inter fan, an Inter Milan fan. Might be the first.
I am, yes. I've been an Inter Milan fan all my life. I'm a season ticket holder at the San Siro as well, so watching the game last night was...
You watched the Thistle game instead though, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it was all over the place last night. My emotions were running high, and just as a neutral, that's probably the best game of football, the best football over two legs that I've seen in 25 years, and I'm 42 today.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of football, but unfortunately, I wasn't there for the final, for the semi-final, but I am definitely going to Germany for the final.
Brilliant. That's tremendous, magnificent, doesn't it? So what, I take it, what family connection, or, you know, I take it, Michele, is that how it started?
I've got a lot of family connections with my dad being a translator for Inter Milan, hence the reason why that's the only team I support.
Nice.
And
so that is your only team? You don't have a Scottish team?
I don't have a Scottish
that's
team.
Brilliant.
And I see a lot of football all over the place, and I'm very much neutral when it comes to football, but Inter are my team, and honestly, I didn't think the second semi-final could get much better than the first, but it was absolutely outstanding.
Who would you want? Who do you want at the Arsenal? And
I would like Arsenal.
Oh, because they're weaker.
No. I said at the beginning, I said at the round of 16 when I initially booked my flight and accommodation in Munich when we played PSV, that I said that Arsenal had a good chance to get all the way to the final. And I was true to my word, but I think it'll be an Inter Milan-Arsenal final.
There you go. So, do you think it was that good? But are we talking like one of the best games ever? Or have we got recency bias?
I've seen the highlights for last night, but I think because Michele's talking about it there, that the pendulum, it was swinging all the time. I mean, Barcelona, but and then they were 2-0 down last night, but the first leg was the same. First leg was incredible. Inter Milan got out the traps quick, Barcelona pegged them back. I think, am I right in saying Inter Milan then went ahead again and Rafinha scores at the end, and I thought Barcelona would have enough to take them, even in the San Siro, but full credit to Inter.
Is there a wider cultural football point to be made here? I saw a lot of people pointing this out. They felt like last night was a symbol that football is healing and is moving away from the pepification that we've seen over the last decade or so, which was groundbreaking and was brilliant, but maybe has sort of over-influenced everyone now, where there was a period where they were all kind of trying to play the same way and it all became...
I'm not blaming Pep.
Very calculated and...
Game's too organised, yeah.
That's what I mean. You don't think he sort of brought that in, though?
No, I'm not blaming Pep for that.
No?
No. I can't blame Pep for that.
No, but listen, his was... At the start was like the ultimate version of it. It was incredible. Yeah. But it's sort of all followed on from that, is it not?
Yeah, but I think just there's a lot of games now that I was talking actually to somebody earlier on today with this stuff with centre-backs coming out and putting their foot in the ball and everybody's in their position and just a standoff. Yeah. It can be quite boring
to
watch.
At times, isn't it?
It can
be. That's what I'm saying.
That game last night, people will question the defence, but goals make games.
Yeah, it's different, Michele, isn't it? A bit more.
The game last night had absolutely everything.
It did.
I mean, Barcelona's strike for coming up to probably one of the best defensive record teams in the competition, and you saw that at the start of the second half where Inter came out to defend the ball. Inter wanted to defend that 2-goal lead, came out and got pegged back by Barcelona, and as soon as Inter it went 2-each, Inter came out and attacked, and then again Rafinha scored that third goal. And I knew deep down that it was going to be a good end to the game, 5 minutes in. And I just can't believe that Acerbi, his first goal in Europe.
I turned round
and I said to my son, who was watching it with me, I said to him, I don't understand why Acerbi was there in the first place. But it just had both games had everything, and hats off to Barcelona and Inter for providing us with probably the best game of football that I have seen in over 25 years.
I'm now just thinking bigger picture here. We've just got a guy in steps who's just, this show's been on for like
season ticket
40 years and he's just eventually just found a night where he can phone in. He must be the first Inter fan ever to phone.
It's incredible.
It's not even like he's like a Celtic fan who's got a soft spot.
Yeah.
Just an Inter fan.
Take it older,
and he's found his moment to join us. Brilliant. Enjoy yourself. Michele in steps is going to go over to that final. And
that'd be some experience as well, going over for a final in Munich.
That'd be fabulous.
I
still think PSG, but do you think Arsenal?
Yeah, I think it'll be too much for him tonight, yeah. I'd like to see Arsenal get there. Yeah. British club would be good.
I'm going to try and tie it into Scottish football, of course. Leave this to the European football experts. James is in Hillhead. You're a Partick Thistle fan, James. You surely had the right choice last night.
Hi, doing Jono, boys. How you doing? All right, Gordon, Alex.
Yeah, good, mate.
I feel jealous with Michele, man. Imagine having that to look forward to. Well, all the best to having this team anyway.
You've got Somerset Park to look forward to on Friday.
Well, you know what it's like sometimes, just for the game, you're like, after the game, you're like, oh, I don't think I'll even bother. But you know, by Friday, you'll be up for it. Exactly. You'll be recharged. It was, I don't know. I feel bad for Alex, and I don't know if Sid watched that as well. It was a hard watch, but that's the nature of these games up here, certainly the first legs. I think there was a few nil-nils and stuff. I think Brian and Mark were probably looking to get, obviously they're wanting to win, but keep it as close as possible. So
does it still feel alive for you, James? You know, it's just that one goal deficit. Does it still feel alive, or what's the kind of your thoughts?
It's got to maybe it's just I'm just getting a bit concerned with the injuries and the tired legs. But then Ayr, I think they only had about four outfielders on their bench, and they've got a few injuries, and a few of their guys were going down the cramp. Maybe it was a mix of cramp and obviously holding on to the lead, trying to break the game up. The ref did that, as Alex said, better than Ayr did.
Mm. Yeah, very stop start, wasn't it?
It was.
Do you know what, though, right? We're being tongue in cheek. Nothing could have gone up against the Champions League level last night, but enough. I thought the goal when it came about is brilliant, isn't it? Just that,
it was a brilliant move.
That's, it was the one bit of football, wasn't it? It was the one bit of football, and that was one of these stats, one of these American ones. Neither team had a corner last night.
By the way, do you know what?
Nobody had a corner.
Did you know that? Right, here's the other thing. I need your I forgot about this. We were talking about this last night, and I need your help, Statos, because a few people then tweeted me in about this as well, saying the sober one says the stat from last night, zero corners. Has that ever happened before? I've got no idea, but my gut just tells me no, that I can't think of any.
I can't think of any either.
But then, I mean, how rare corners, is that? That is somebody out there, because you're much smarter than us. None. Not a single corner between Thistle and Ayr last night.
Incredible.
You ever heard of that before?
No, I haven't.
But do you think it's just because you've not gone looking
I've
for that stat?
For it,
I don't know,
yeah,
but just...
Yeah.
Because it really surprised me.
Pop out, we're about football quite often. Mm-hmm. If it come on any medium, you think
you would pick
oh,
up
that's
on
an
it.
Interesting one, because it's very rare. But going back to the game, I actually think they've still got a good chance. But you look at the couple of opportunities that Graham had last night, a couple of decent opportunities, just didn't put him in the corner. So if they can get that first goal, but
listen, they beat the last two games, Falkirk and Livy. They beat albeit it was the last man against Falkirk.
Top two. Yeah.
They beat Livy. And I just think the ties still, I don't think there's a lot
between the both of them. Yeah. There wasn't in the game last night, that's for sure.
There we go. So according to our producer, he says that Chelsea Wigan 2010 was the one and only time in English Premier League. So that's been going to go since 1992. It's happened once, and it was 15 years ago. So it probably tells you a story about how rare it is. James, you mentioned kind of, you know, tiredness and, you know, injuries and so on. To be fair, look, this change wouldn't necessarily have... We're only talking about this one-off game, but what did you make of the news yesterday that they're thinking about changing the playoffs so that it's one leg, then another one leg, and then the final would still be the two? Do you think that would be better?
It'd definitely be better. But I don't know why they don't make the final a big event, a one-off event as well.
Yeah.
How would that work, Gordon? Just out of curiosity, I've never seen that. How do we play that in terms of the one-off?
So
the home
so
away?
Last night, as an example, Ayr would have been at home.
Right, so the team highest would be at home.
And then the next round, Livy would be at home, one-off. My guess is, to be fair, because James is right, you've played in England, the dream scenario would be that...
Makes a good point.
A one-off, and it would be great. I think probably the difference is right now, do you think the Premiership clubs would vote for that? You know, probably not.
Yeah.
You know, they want that double chance and get the home advantage. Yeah. But, you know, as it stands then, if you could get the lower leagues to agree, I think it would be better. I mean, if you're Thistle, and you know you need to go six games.
It's too much, Gordon. Yeah. And you look at it, the fact that Ayr was that he had four players on the bench last night.
Yeah.
So there's going to be fatigue, there's going to be injuries. Players are coming to the end of the contract as well, so it's not really conducive.
A lot of games. Wasn't it last season? Was it the season before? And Partick went all the way. Was it the county? Was that last year?
And then they were cruising, and then.
And they blew up.
They blew up with 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. They were the best team for 5.5 games.
Yeah.
And then blew up in that last game. So it's very heavily weighted towards
the top flight.
Yeah.
Okay, there's James there giving us his thoughts. Let's hear from Partick Thistle co-manager. Don't worry, not that one. We hear enough of him. Brian Graham on his frustrations with the referee breaking the game up.
I think it's a penalty in the first half, yes, but I'm not going to moan about the referees. I thought somebody's decision tonight. I don't know why I can get booked for a high boot when I don't see the boy coming and there's a straight leg on Dan O'Reilly up the other end. So I did ask him on the pitch about that. I asked him about consistency. But listen, I'm not here to moan about referees. I'm here to worry about Partick Thistle. As a player, you want the game to flow. I did say that to him. Going to let the game flow. Stop blowing your whistle. It's a massive game. It's a playoff quarter final. We want the game to be played at a good tempo, but you were just going to get to a good tempo because it was stopping every 2 minutes.
Stop blowing your whistle. It's good advice, that. I quite like it. Let it go, and hopefully we get a bit more of the entertainment value on Friday. Let's tell you about this before we move on. Make me a winner. If you enter Make Me a Winner right now, you could win £532,000. Wow. Text YES to 61025. The texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. Or for a huge 100 entries into the draw, text BANK to 61025. Texts are £10 there plus your standard network rate. You can call 03434 269 340. And the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. And all the rules for this Rail Network competition are at Clyde1.com. Lines close 5pm Friday, and it's so easy. You just answer your phone. You don't need to do anything after that. Answer your phone, and the £532,000 would be yours. And I'm sure most of you would be willing to wait a day or two. You don't even need to. Straight into your bank after the call. So text YES to 61025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly's in the building alongside Alex Ray, and they're waiting for your call. So do get in touch. Let us know what you're thinking. Whatever is on your mind, whether it's any news that's coming along today or just a bit of fun. We're talking about the contrast last night, the glamour of the Champions League versus the bread and butter, the nitty gritty of the playoffs. What does Hugh Keevans always say? I think the Champions League would have been dinner suits and Firhill would have been boiler suits, something like that.
Yeah, it's a good analogy.
I quite like that one. So which one did you watch and how close was last night's game in the Champions League to being like the best in terms of a neutral game that you've seen? Is it that, or are we doing that kind of recency bias thing? Was it up there? And if not, what game was? What's the best that you've seen? Give us a call, give us a tweet, whatever you so wish. Zurga says PSG Barcelona second leg 2016, incredible game of football. I like that. He's got that perfectly memorised. I actually think someone else went for that as well, the Ouija as well, so it must be quite a popular one.
Comeback was incredible, man,
on the list as well. But you know what, it shows you that the playoffs do capture the imagination, because loads of tweets about it from people who are not Thistle or Ayr fans. David Healy says the ref was a bit fussy, but if the players stopped committing all these fouls that are designed to break up the game, then it would flow better. They must take some responsibility, surely. I get that, I suppose, as well. But yeah, do give us a call on 01419511025. Who knows, it might be the last. Well, we're entering the last version of the playoffs where it is the two legs, because as we said before the news, they are thinking about making them one-legged going forward. You in favour of that, you both said, didn't you? I think that'd be wise.
I would be, yep.
Fair enough. Right, I think we're going to speak to John on the line. Is John there? Yes, he is. How are you, John? Hi, John, can you hear us?
Hi.
Hi, John, how's it going?
Hi, good, all good. Yeah, good. Absolutely fine.
What are you thinking tonight?
All right, so the producer asked me if we might talk about Celtic, but I was actually phoned up about Partick Thistle game. I sat down to watch the Inter Milan Barca game at 7:30 to realise I didn't have it in the channel that I had.
Oh, hold on, you were just forced then. That's not a choice. You had to.
I'd waited all day. Yeah. And I sat down, and I knew the Partick Thistle game was on, but I sat down and thought, right, I'll get the Barcelona game, and then it's not on TNT. So I went, well, I'll switch, I'll get it on the Partick game then. So I did. And I watched the whole game. It wasn't a great affair, stop start, as you've said, but my wee pal Kyle Turner plays with him. He's a member of a golf club, plays in the team with us. So I thought I'd have a watch of that. Yeah, it wasn't a great spectacle. It was stop-start, but I actually thought I didn't get a lot of chance to watch Partick on Friday nights, some of Friday nights. But the guy Bannigan looked like a good player. He didn't waste a ball. He was all over the park. But a lot of yellow cards, yeah, that's not a great spectacle.
And as a Celtic fan, John, who just watched it as a neutral, which Celtic legend did you want to come out and top, Scott Brown or Mark Wilson?
Well, do you know... Kyle Turner.
he's got up to his loyalty
there, yeah.
To be honest, both new to the management side, obviously last season, jumping in here and Partick Thistle, I preferred, obviously, Partick to get through the heartbreak recently, what have you, but I think both teams are going to struggle to make it through into the final, to be honest.
Just out of curiosity, if you forecast it, How do you think the levels do compare
between those two teams?
No, so say it's a say it as a Ross County lying in wait, do you think the championship team comes up or not?
Difficult one.
To be fair, if it's Livy though, Livy have well, they ran St Johnstone extremely close in the cup, and then they beat Ross County in the other cup, didn't they? Up there.
They did, yeah. There wasn't a lot in that St Johnstone game, just the strike from Kerry.
I think Livy would be the team that the
could possibly upset.
I think without being disrespectful, I think they would favour Ross County. I think Dundee scored goals. I think Dundee might be a more difficult opponent if it was them.
Yeah, I think it would be difficult for them, Gordon, to beat a Ross County or even a Dundee. I think you're absolutely right about Livingston. I think Livingston have actually done very well this year under Martindale. Yep. You know, obviously Falkirk get a really decent squad as well. And I thought Livy have kind of pushed them to the wire. And with Martindale as well, I'm sure he will get them motivated for these challenges ahead. Yeah, it's interesting with the boy Turner. Sorry, just to butt in, Gordon. I played against his young man. He Tommy. Was absolutely ferocious. In fact, I've still got nightmares with that
Tommy
guy.
Aye,
but not only just did he volley you, he was happy to kind of give you verbals as well. So I seen a little bit of his boy last night and I thought, oh, I know where he gets that face.
Kyle's not a bad player. I've actually played golf. So John is
he's golf.
I've played golf
tonight.
With Kyle. He's a low handicapper. I think he's off one or something. Is that right, John?
Plus one, and he plays in the team.
Nice. Yep. I was just laughing there at poor little shrinking violet Alex Ray complaining about
I was a wee boy about nine stone back in the day. You remember Tommy Turner?
I do, I probably would have played against him as well. Aye.
Oh, lethal, honestly. But it wasn't just that.
I remember playing against you or not.
Really?
Exactly. Last week, probably still kicking everybody. John, with your Celtic hat on, then what's the thought process now? Just sort of full steam ahead to the cup final and try and win the treble?
Well, it's got to be that. The producer asked me about performances and stuff recently. I'm obviously a little disappointed with not getting a win in a Celtic Rangers game recently, and the performance level's not being where they should be. I can't blame having injuries and for like the game there on Sunday, because every team's got injuries, but they just looked a bit off. Whether that's a mentality thing, but a lot of the pundits and that say that isn't the case. Nobody goes out there to only play 80%. But to go through the levels that have been this season, to not perform, and there's got to be something there.
Look, it's Wednesday. We're probably over the detailed analysis, but I'm still curious because you've both, you know, one of you in each camp. What did you make of Sunday?
Sunday for me was a wee bit of an anticlimax. I think it was a typical kind of end of season. And it's funny because I certainly never been into the games feeling that way.
Absolutely.
You were desperate to win them. It could probably went either way. I mean, it's probably a boring answer, but I think a draw was probably the fair result. But I just thought it was a bit of an anti-climax.
It seemed to me as if it was like, and I agree with Simon, it was very flat. And you don't often say that about this fixture, because there's obviously that rivalry. But I was actually at the game, and when you were analysing both teams, you're thinking to yourself, this is a both teams that are kind of thinking this is the end of the season. Mm-hmm. They want the Amber Select. Obviously Celtic still have to go again, but they have to, and I think Brendan's already alluded to saying we will not be complacent in the build up to this. But it's very difficult as a player to kind of constantly have your foot to the floor when the league's already sewn up. So I think that's a natural response for Celtic. And if you look at them over the course of recent seasons, they have always trapped when it mattered. Mm-hmm. And obviously Brendan will be looking for that response come the cup final.
I think it was one of the rare ones as well where actually the draw in a roundabout just suited it, because Celtic didn't, you don't want a third successive defeat.
Absolutely.
You know, it just doesn't look good. And of course the title is the biggest picture, but it's totally not what you want. And then similarly, Rangers have been in yet another kind of bad run recently, so if they were to go and suffer a heavy defeat, it would just make everything
feel... Celtic winning the week before and going there as champions and not rubbing your face in it, but you know, winning at Ibrox, I think it probably in the end favoured both. I think both are quite settled in the end. They walk away with a point each.
Thank you to John, 0141 951 1025 on the phones. And right now it's important, that number, because it's time to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Give us a call. Let's see if we can give a signed ball away. I feel like it's been a while. I could be wrong, but let's try and do it. 01419511025. The line's close at 7.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Alex Ray in the building for you. 0141 951 1025. What are you thinking tonight? We're looking back on last night's playoff action between Partick Thistle and Ayr, mixed in with the question for you, who's a real fan of Scottish football, who chose Firhill over Inter Barca? Come on, stand up and take your applause from me. We're asking how close did that come to the best game you've seen as a neutral, if not what was. That's just a bit of fun to keep us occupied on Twitter at Clyde SSB. In terms of today's news, if you like, not loads, but Dave King gave quite a significant update to you Rangers fans. He says the takeover is 90% complete and we'll be looking at a time frame of round about June for completion. So what do you make of all that? Give us a call if there's anything else that's out there. What about the football writers versus the players? Who picked the better list? Because the PFA awards were dished out at the weekend, weren't they? The four-man shortlist was winner Daizen Maeda, Callum McGregor, Nicholas Kuhn and Simon Murray. The football writers have gone for three of the four, but they've ditched Nicholas Kuhn and put in Nectar Triantis of Hibs. Who's got the better list and who'll win it out of those? I think I know the answer, but surprise me and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, it is Beat the Pundit time. Well, big news for you. A loss, a defeat for you tonight would put you level with the Dazzler.
So I'm above the Dazzler.
Yes, but if you lose tonight, you'll drop.
I'm thinking positive. Think positive.
Don't let this put you off. But I played golf with him earlier and he confirmed that he's back on track. Wednesday night is his bath night. Oh, he said he was going to lie in the bath
and listen.
And listen to you beat the pundit.
That's putting me off.
So there's a mental
I know it's a terrible vision.
There's a mental image for you.
I can't. I'm trying to get that out of my head.
So don't let that distract you. And Alex Ray, you've not played in 3 years, so it'll be good to see how you're.
There'll be a ball going somewhere.
What, I think your last season on here, I think you were good. I think you were quite high up the league table.
No, I actually think I had a shocker that year and I won the year before.
The year before, right, yeah. Okay. I knew there was credit in the bank somewhere. It was just a long time ago. Ryan is on the line. How are you, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm well, thank you.
You've got to try and take advantage of that. This is a guy who has not played in years and says that since he left his role at Rangers, he's been to Portugal three times. It doesn't sound like he's been studying, does it?
No, it's not, but I'd prefer to play Simon. He beat me in a tiebreaker before.
Rivalry.
What is it with the I play against these guys all the time.
Well, something in this, by the way, because I would say the vast.
Is the producer deliberately getting.
No, this kind of luck
old
in the drawer,
opponents on.
Because the vast majority of people do come on and play for the first time, as you'll hear.
What
most
did Ryan
nights.
Say there? I beat him in a tiebreaker. What was the tiebreaker, Ryan? Can you remember?
It was a question about how many Premier League games Darren Fletcher played in his career.
That must have been a while. I can't remember that question. But anyway, right, let's toss the coin, Ryan. If it's heads, it'll be Alex Ray. I don't think he's looking forward to it. If it's tails, it'll be Simon Donnelly. Look, I'm peering over the specs. Just, I wouldn't do that to you.
You would.
What is it? Is it heads?
Anyway, just.
I can feel it now. Coming on your side.
He's an easy opponent, Ryan. Everybody beats him.
You pass quickly, you move on. That's the rules have not changed.
No,
right,
fine,
give Alex something else to listen to. Try and make it some calming music to chill him out a bit. He's worried about this. Ryan, you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many right as you can. As always, if you want to pass, fine by me, okay?
Perfect, thank you.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Pelly the Elephant is the mascot of which Scottish club?
Arbroath.
Who did Neil Critchley replace as Hearts manager?
Stephen Naismith.
Which Welsh club did Brendan Rodgers manage?
Welsh? Bath.
Name either side St Mirren faced in Europe this season.
Bath.
Who was the last Rangers player to win PFA Player of the Year?
Alfredo Morello.
What is the name of the new Scotland women's head coach?
Bath.
Okay, let's bring him back. Alex Ray, can you hear us?
Yes.
Ask them to put some calming music on for you to try and relax,
man,
you
honestly,
before this. It'll be fine. There's a couple of easies in there, I'm sure of it. Did you hear them?
No.
Always a surprise for you
music.
As well. Okay. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Pelly the Elephant is the mascot of which Scottish club? Who came before Neil Critchley as Hearts manager?
Pass.
Which Welsh club did Brendan Rodgers manage?
Swansea.
Name either team St Mirren played in Europe this season.
Pass.
Who was the last Rangers player to win the PFA Player of the Year?
Morelos.
What is the name of the new Scotland women's head coach?
Pass.
Who will East Kilbride face in the League 2 playoff this Saturday?
Elgin.
Which current SPFL manager connects Alloa, St Mirren and Aberdeen?
Jack Ross.
Okay, what do you think?
Oh man, it's Jesus.
What do you think, Ryan?
I think he's beat me.
Well, can he, mate? I don't even think I've got one right now.
I wouldn't be so sure.
I think he's beat me by
one. I know the last one. I know now. Goody. Yeah. Ah, Jesus.
Pelly the elephant.
He was talking about the Mentos.
Oh, he's not right. He just wanted to get out of the way. It's not Mentos.
Is that not right?
No. Pelly the elephant.
I was wondering. He said it so confidently. I thought,
I was just throwing it out.
I started to worry me there. He worried me because I'm thinking, is it Mentos? No. And then I realised he's just trying to get out of the way. It was Dumbarton. Pelly the elephant, apparently.
Pelly the elephant.
Who came before Neil Critchley? Do you know what I think here? Your head was going here.
Yep.
You know that Stephen Naismith came before Neil Critchley, but you're just trying to fire through them. You were trying to get
if
rid
I didn't
of them.
Know it automatically, I was going past.
Ryan got that right. 1-0 to Ryan. The Welsh club Brendan Rodgers managed was Swansea. Equaliser, Alex Ray. St Mirren played Valour and Bran in Europe this season. I really thought, I mean, both Rangers fans.
Is it still 1-8? Yeah.
It is. The last Rangers, player to win the PFA Player of the Year is Tavernier. James Tavernier. Yeah, Morelos has never won it. The new Scotland women's head coach is Melissa Andriata. I see all the old usual boxes were getting ticked yesterday. She's been, I think, eating haggis and says she knows the words to Flower of Scotland and all the rest. So, good start as you mean to go on, I guess. 1-1 so far.
Desperate, and it's
I thought you were going to get there as well. I thought I could see you rummaging around to dig it out. East Kilbride will play
Bonnyrigg Rose
for a place in the SPFL next season. And again, you knew this. This is the type. See, with some minutes in the legs, some game time under your belt, I think you get this. It was Jim Goodwin, Alloa, St Mirren, Aberdeen. Jack Ross is Alloa and St Mirren.
Yeah.
Not Aberdeen.
I said Goodie.
A 1-1 classic.
Oh my God.
1-1. Battle of the basement. To the tiebreaker. You've got history on this, Ryan. It's very simple. I'll ask the question. I'll get Alex to write his answer down. I'll then invite you to give me your attempt, Ryan, okay?
Yeah.
What was Rangers' goal difference when they won the title in 2021? What was Rangers' goal difference when they won the title in 2021? Write it down, Alex. Okay, let's see what he's got. And hurry up, what are you giving us, Ryan?
65.
Okay, Alex has gone 57. Ryan's gone 65. Now remember, it was a famously low. They didn't concede many at all, did they? The answer is 79. Ooh. Ryan has done it. He's got the sign ball. They not only concede like 13 or something like that. Right. I can't remember.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I didn't know how many they scored, but I knew it was quite
Well done, Ryan.
I
did say a ball was going somewhere.
He did. He's a man of his word, if nothing else. He said the ball would be leaving, and it is. It's on its way to Bishopbriggs. You finally got one, Ryan. Are you happy with that?
Yeah. Sorry.
What's on your mind as a Rangers fan this week then? I ask this to everybody because it feels like that is the overriding feeling. It's just get the season done and move on.
Yeah, that's it. This season's been a write-off for a wee while now. So it's just a case of hoping the investment 100% goes through and looking to go and build for next season.
Well, according to Dave King, it's 90%, so they can't offer you the 100. It's 90%. Yeah. Are you the type that's sort of hanging on all these updates and desperate to see it happen, or are you just sitting back and waiting for when it eventually takes place?
No, that's it. Just waiting for it to take place. It's obviously good that Dave King came out and gave a wee bit of an update to TalkSport. But just hoping that things get put in place soon enough with a new manager and backroom staff and fans will get a wee bit more of an idea of how the club will look next season.
I think the time frame he put on it, Ryan, was June, which is obviously, I mean, what, the start of June's 3 weeks away. I don't know how far into June. You comfortable? Would you be comfortable waiting until well into June for a manager appointment, or would you like to hear that before?
I'm not sure. There's a lot of background work obviously goes into things like this as well, so you're sort of hoping that the new investors have got ideas on who they'd like as the new manager, and that these guys are already doing the background work and things can be put in place as early as possible.
Because Alex, I don't know if you know more than we do. I feel like at the start of this, it felt quite obvious that the takeover would be completed and then a new manager would be appointed. Simon was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and it just feels like if Rangers are in a position to appoint Kevin Thelwell as a sporting director, presumably that's at least with the say-so of the new owners or you know, at least involved. Yeah. I mean, there can't be a scenario where they come in and say, "Oh no, we didn't want Kevin Thelwell." So does the same logic apply
to a manager?
To the manager?
It's a very good point, Gordon. I would imagine that this guy, Thelwell's, is the new ownership. Otherwise, it defeats the purpose, because you might not like his work and then you're changing quickly again. And as I said, the head of the academy, who they're trying to get from Everton, would be coming in at the back of him. So that suggests to me that they're building with him in mind. So whether they can get a manager in, because as Dave King, if there was some foreseeable situation where they didn't go over the line and this deal broke down, then... Mm-hmm. You know, you could potentially have a manager on the backing of the potential owners, but then they walk away from the table. So it's not ideal, the situation. For me personally, I would like to see the manager getting in, the deal getting done quicker, but it will take the time that it's doing. Because as I said earlier on the show, Gordon, I feel as if there's a lot of work to be done at Rangers, particularly with the playing squad. Who's making the decisions? Who's coming? Who's going? And I think they're key issues, because there's so many... players who, you know, who's the targets? You've identified targets. Who's making the decision for them coming in? Yeah. You know, would it be the new manager? Who, you know, has that decision already been made?
Do you
think
they've identified a new manager? Because I was on with Cammy Bell. He said last week he reckoned that they had, didn't he?
I would imagine they've actually identified someone, because we're talking about 4 or 5 weeks
down the road. It's not a lot of time at all.
I would imagine they've had discussions with a couple of options with a view to taking over. And they'll probably have one or two of them definitely in mind, Sid. But the actual takeover has to happen very quickly, because the thing is, as I said, there's so much going on. And it's, what were we saying, 70-odd days before the Champions League qualifier. Mm-hmm. You know, and as I said, it's very difficult to recruit players. And
you're not coming into a squad that's sitting there with a huge percentage of it set, are you? There's going to be a lot of change.
I think there'll be a massive change. The phrase that's used is a rehaul again, over the summer. And, you know, it looks as if it's going to be that way as well. You know, is Czerny going to be one of the guys that stays as well? He's had a very good season. Does he fit into that equation? I think it's at $5.5 million. If they're talking about throwing a few quid in with the numbers that he's...
You go for him.
See, having worked with him, how much of a priority would you make that for a new owner?
Yeah, I think he's been one of, if not the standout player for Rangers, and I don't think you can say that about a lot of players. For me, he would be, for that price, Gordon, I think, you know, a guy that's getting to the late teens, you know, potentially could have scored more as well. He's at a good age, you know. He's settled in very well to the way they play. I think Rangers need more players of that ilk. I think when you look back at some of the players this season, you look at Cortes, he's obviously been injured, Danilo, you know, these guys are really crucial to what Rangers are trying to do. Tom Lawrence has had a stop-start season as well for the last three seasons. So these are offensive players that can make the difference at the top end when you're playing against low blocks. And you... Sid mentioned something that was, I think, was very pertinent earlier on the show, where when you were making a change in 60 minutes, you get like for like.
Yeah.
So you bring on guys of that quality, and I think Rangers need to get to that level of squad, you know, because the old adage is, if you don't have a strong bench, then you're only strong as, and you can never win anything or sustain anything over a period of time unless you have numbers to back that up coming off the bench.
Ryan, what did you make of that, you know, report this week as well, that the new manager probably... not going to be someone who's had a connection to Rangers before, you know, because on one hand that doesn't seem like a massive statement, but I think it's just because everyone's been talking about maybe Steven Gerrard or obviously Barry Ferguson's in there at the moment. Would you like a real clean slate, or what's your views on it?
Yeah, I'd like a new clean slate and someone to come in with an open pair of eyes and fresh ideas. And at the club, I see a lot of things online, I think, with Marco Rose and Son Dyche being the two candidates since that statement came out. And I'd probably prefer Marco Rose out of the two. From what I've heard about his style of football, it's quite attractive and attacking. So I think it'd be good to see him in Ibrox.
Yeah, I feel like to an extent what we on the show or everyone else, we've been robbed of the good old fashioned debate about who the next manager should be, because a lot of people are just sensible out there and say, well, you just don't know because you don't, because there's a new ownership coming in. No, normally if the Celtic or Rangers job was vacant, we'd be every night on here just chucking names after name after name. But I feel like, again, that's not really, because Barry Ferguson's there and you just have no idea if, as you say, as someone already identified, you'd imagine you've got to be down the line. It's not like I'm not going to sign the deal on the 7th of June, say, and then go, oh, right, we need a manager and to get any ideas. There's no way it would be. There's no way it would be like that, surely.
No, not for me. I actually think they'll be pretty much down the line. It's interesting because Philwell was over in MLS as well. So he's broadened his horizons. He's also worked in the Premier League. So whether it's that, whether it's experience, you really don't know what these guys are actually, what criteria they're looking for. Mm-hmm. You know, are they good at developing youth? Are they good at identifying talent? Is it just to manage the team and Philwell then picks the players, like the old director of football? Yeah. I had that situation in Belgium as well, where we'd no say other than the boy, Wilfred, what was his name again? The boy at Leicester, the midfielder. Wilfred Ndidi, yeah. So anyway, that was the only player we ever get, and that was because he was 100 grand. Director of football picked all the players and you were to coach them, and that was your remit. Right. Yeah,
like, so totally, as in none, no input
absolute
whatsoever.
Absolute zero. Yeah, we tried everything.
I think the British model is more that the manager at least gets the final.
A final say, nod, yeah. Yeah, I think so, yeah. But in saying that, if it's a foreign manager, he may well have worked under different parameters over in.
Hold on a second, because indeed he didn't do too badly. So I'm thinking.
Well, to be fair, it was Big Alec. No, don't give me any credit for that. It was Big Alec spotted that he could.
Is that right? It was 100 grand?
100,000 he paid for him. I think they sold, but Genk sold him for 15 million euros, yeah. And then they obviously went to Leicester for a bit more than that, yeah.
Surely you're phoning the sporting director up and saying, listen, leave this to me then, if you're Alex McLeish at that point.
I was the only one I ever got a say on, yeah.
Right?
The director of football was constantly trying to push his own players in, and I suppose that's one of the downfalls where they're trying to push players and trying to kind of guide you in a certain direction. You need to be strong.
Thank you very much to Ryan on the line, by the way. It's a good time to call, join in, whether it is the stuff we've been going over so far and you've got something to add, you want to wade in on the Scottish Football Writers shortlist, is it the right list for you? Is that a better list than the players picked? Roger Hanna and Hugh Keevans, I'm sure, would say so. So get your calls in. We'll speak to you next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Simon Donnelly are here at 0141 951 1025. Good question being sent in on the full-time teaser. Now remember, if you are unfamiliar with the way this works, the whole point of the full-time teaser is that you send a question in to us and we try, well, the pundits try, I just get to laugh at them, the pundits try and come up with the answers in roughly the last half an hour or so of the show. So fire up the email, send it over to fulltime@clyde1.com. This is very topical. Since it was first awarded in 2007, who are the six managers, apart from John McGlynn, who've won Manager of the Year whilst not managing in the top flight?
You could be here all night. Since the first?
How many?
So since 2007, there are six managers apart from John McGlynn who've won the Manager of the Year whilst not managing in the top flight. So not the football writers, we're talking like the
Jack Ross,
the one that's given out at the PFA do. Yes, at St Mirren 2017.
Great start.
Very good. Any others that spring to mind?
Yogi?
No.
Derek McInnes? St Johnson? No.
Nope.
2007. Goodwin?
So what I'm going to tell you, right, actually, do you know what? You're actually down to five, because I think there's an element of a trick question to this, and I think the way I've set it up, you would never get it. John McGlynn did it at Raith as well. Right, so I'll take him out for you. Right. So let's call it five.
So
let's go five managers apart from John McGlynn who've won the Manager of the Year whilst not managing in the top flight. You've got Jack Ross at St Mirren. Okay, I'll leave it with you because you've only got a couple more to get. So thanks again to Grant for sending it in, and it is fulltime@clyde1.com. Speaking of which then, seamless transition. What did you make of the shortlists for the Football Writers Awards that have come out? So the two big ones, if you like, are the PFAs that were done at the weekend, and then the football writers one. So they went for they have four managers instead. So rather than the three at the weekend, they go for four, but the kind of similar names that are in there. They've gone David Gray, Brendan Rodgers, John McGlynn. So the same three as the PFAs, but they've added Jimmy Tilleen into the mix as well. What do you think?
Well, we spoke about it last week, didn't we, for the other awards, and we were, because at the time we were, Falkirk hadn't quite got over the line, and you were saying what ifs, and we were talking about
Celtic obviously as well,
and Tilleen if he goes on to win the Scottish Cup. Listen, I might be biased, but I would still lean towards Brendan Rodgers. I think the treble's going to be achieved. You've got to give the rest of them credit, particularly David Gray coming back, John McGlynn, fantastic back-to-back promotions. I would just lean towards the guy who's, I think, going to achieve another treble.
Yeah, I think it's between the two. I think Brendan and John McGlynn would most certainly be favourites within that group, Gordon. I think when you look at Gray and Tilleen, both of them have had really periods within the season that didn't have that
opposite
consistency.
Ends, yeah.
So I think when you look at Brendan, it's like potential treble, so he would obviously be favourite, and then John McGlynn. But you know, on his defence, a back-to-back is some achievement. Yeah. And I think was it 15 years since the last thing. I mean, I have to say, I watched it last Friday, Gordon. The scenes, and you know, it's 35 years ago I left Falkirk, and so you know, you don't really get to see them that often live, but see the scenes afterwards. I was sitting there and I had my father over on the Saturday for lunch, and we were talking about it, and even my dad, who doesn't really have a big affiliation other than that his boy played for him, was saying, what about the scenes? They were brilliant. And there was guys my dad's age right down to kids on the pitch, and see when you see the annual scenes of pitch invasions, they're all waiting at the side, you know, you know, there was a yard, you know, before the corner was taken.
He was nearly taking the corner.
That's what I'm saying. It was just incredible, you know. I've never seen fans waiting as the game's going on, just about go, right, blow the whistle, what we got on here. And I just thought it was brilliant. I thought it was really good, and it was a delight to see it, because obviously I spent 3 years at the club, so it was good stuff.
Bradford's was good. Did you see them at the weekend?
Yeah, I did see
that. That was the last kick of the ball.
Last kick of the ball.
97th minute, yeah.
Right, so that's the manager. So the Football Writers Awards have gone Maeda, McGregor, Murray and Triantis on their four. So again, to compare, the PFA had Maeda, McGregor, Murray and Kuhn. Yep. So Triantis for Kuhn. Who's got the better list? Who deserves to be in the top four? Nicholas Kuhn or Nectar Triantis?
Again, I'd say the boy Triantis. I've actually been quite impressed the way he's went about his business this year. Even when they were poor earlier on, when we come up against him earlier on in the season, I thought this boy's actually no bad. He's got a wee bit of everything. Said he's industrious, tidy on the ball, gets about. But I can't help think, Sid, when I look at that list of players, that there's just a standout, and it's, you know, you can try and talk them all up. McGregor's had a decent enough season. I think when you look at it as a six, getting to double figures is brilliant.
Yep.
But in terms of, you know, he's just coasted along nicely, kind of drives the team on. But Maeda's been the go-to guy in all the big games, and the amount of goals he's off the left and through the middle.
It's a funny one as well, though, because Hibs, towards the second half of the season, have been on that great run. So Triantis has obviously maybe been more to the fore.
Yep.
Whereas Kuhn has kind of dipped a little bit. At one point, everybody was
a player of the year.
People were saying he was going away. Mm-hmm. People were saying somebody was going to come in and buy him. It was hot at one point, really hot. But Maeda, for me, I keep saying it, I would love to have played with the guy with his energy, and I'd have hated to play against him. Mm-hmm. He's the epitome of a team football player.
It's not just, we spoke about this the last time I was on, Gordon, it's not just his goals, it's the high press, because he strangled the life out of teams, and the amount of times he turned over the possession.
And I think defenders as well. I mean, even when they played Bayern Munich, and I think they're aware, they know that they're not going to, and that sometimes affects even the best players. But he puts that back line under so much pressure just with his energy and relentlessness to go and press.
See, having been part of a coaching team that sets up against him, Alex, is it the way it looks from the outside? How much of the analysis is about him and what he does and how he sets a tone.
Well, it wasn't about him, Phil. No. It was Kyogo was the one
start,
who's central. He was coming off the left.
Yeah, he was off the left.
And then what they would do, they would pivot almost round to a two. So it's the difficulty is you try and get your centre half to split as much as possible, because what they try and do is they try and do a double function. Whereas Maeda would like try and pounce on the right centre back as well as worry about with Tavernier. So you were trying to kind of play back across to the keeper and then suck them in and then get out by your fullbacks. And we'd done it at Parkhead in the opening game of the season for 10 or 15 That's minutes. It. And then all of a sudden, they nip it a couple of times, you get nervous. And then all of a sudden, you know, the rest was history on that day. But you have to try and play through it, and you have to get them stretched as far as possible and try and discourage the two. And they're trying to discourage Kyogo and Maeda's very difficult. Yeah. And then that, hence the reason why they change after 60 minutes. Because they're just putting so much pressure into the opposition, they just strangle the life out of them, and it's a philosophy that they have.
So not only that, now he's added even more goals to his game, and people were saying, well, he obviously is working at his game, but I sometimes feel strikers and attacking players, when they get into that little purple patch, the confidence is high. He's shown more composure when he gets in there. Albeit we're talking about that last chance at the weekend where he maybe doesn't show as much composure, but he's been phenomenal.
Sid, let me ask you, can I just ask a question? So Maeda has come in through the middle and done exceptionally well.
But do you keep him there?
Do you think Celtic will go for a number one, number nine next year?
Yeah, I think so.
And then
so.
Put him back to the left?
Yeah, I think so. I think somebody has to be there. Ida's obviously the recognised nine. Kyogo leaves in January. I think they
not
still...
Not been replaced?
Bill Maeda's not a bad replacement, but I think in long term and looking at Europe again, I think they need another quality centre.
Right. Or they now need a winger because Jota's out for potentially 9 months.
Yeah, that's a blow.
So what do you, what, maybe they do both obviously, but is there a case to say that you sort of, you know, you see what's out there, and if you can get an outstanding winger in, then actually Maeda, you know, sort of stays as the striker.
Yeah.
Or you can get that outstanding number nine, and then, you know, you know what I mean, Maeda then goes back out.
That's the reason why I think they'll bring a number nine in, because obviously the Jota situation, then that's at least you've got a starter in Maeda who can also go up there as well. But I still think they'll bring in another wide left and another nine.
Did you answer me there? So who would you have had in your list? Kuhn or Triantis? I was just trying to remember. Silence doesn't work on radio.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking.
Just make like a humming sound to tell everybody that you're...
I think I would still edge with Kuhn.
Okay.
I think for his goals, he's up about 20 goals, is he not?
I think 18, he's a, 19, is he still the top assister in the Premiership as well? I think he may be. Yeah, I don't know. They're clearly not.
Close. It's close. I think.
Not much in it.
He's not hit the heights. Again, there's been a couple of assists recently, but he's not hit those heights in recent times. And I think sometimes that's just the focal point and the people are making the decisions.
Well, I think, as you said, Maeda won the PFA award. He'll probably win the Football Writers as well. The Football Writers young player is a bit different because that has to be Scottish. So you saw Hamza Igeman and Arne Engels on the PFA list there, and Lennon Miller won it.
Yep.
But the Football Writers has to be Scottish. So Lennon Miller back on it, you'd imagine favourite if he's won the PFA one.
Yep.
The Kilmarnock duo of Bobby Wales and David Watson, who won it last year, and James Wilson of Hearts.
I think Miller.
I think if you've won the PFA one up against Igeman and Engels,
I think
it would follow, but you never know.
I think the other lads have done well. I think the boy Wilson at Hearts is he's got himself in the Scotland squad. I mean, that's a really successful season for him at that young age. I've seen the boy Watson taking his goal really well at the weekend, but I think Miller over the piece for me.
Yeah, me too. It's interesting, the boy at Hearts, I've really been impressed with him, Gordon. You know, for such a young boy, we played against him and he's spindly, he's very slight.
Yes.
And the amount of times he was winning balls in the air, he's actually taller than what you actually think he is.
Aye, I know.
He's got a really good leap as well, and I think he's got good composure. But for me, Miller is the standout.
Here's one for you, just having been in there. Who has been Rangers' best player this season?
Best player, I would say Cherney over the piece for consistency, goals, assists. Big Cyril's return's been really impressive as well. All being he's missed some key chances. But Listen, it's very difficult to...
Because Raskin made Team of the Year, didn't he?
Yeah. No, obviously, Nico as well would also be for levels mm-hmm. of consistency. He actually looks to me as if he's kicked on a little bit
I think he has a lot, yeah.
He looks as if he's got a lot of confidence. And if you go to that Belgian top flight squad as well, you're looking at the players that are around about you, you've got plenty of belief. And the one thing about Nico is he's got a lot to say for himself and... he's still young enough to develop into a real... No, he's obviously developing nicely at the moment, but I think there's still another couple of levels that he can kick on.
And what does that look like? Is it as simple as, you know, adding goals or adding that, you know, that craft, that you know,
A bit of both is what you just mentioned. I think from set plays, he's managed to get a couple of goals. You know, the one disallowed at the weekend.
Oh,
he attacks the ball very well for somebody of his stature. I've always been a bit of an old-fashioned one as well. I look at Callum McGregor this year, backing up the play, and he's managed to get, I think it's 9 or 10 goals this year. So I think there's plenty of goals. I often spoke to Nico about this as well, in terms of from the edge of the box, left, right, you know, contributing for the middle of the park. So I think there's development in him. Big Cyril, I've said as well, nobody works harder than Cyril. See, in training, he was more or less every single day after training, he wanted to shoot. And I loved it because he had a real desire to try and work on all different variations of finishing. I think he made a really interesting point. If you'd have said to him at the start of last year, is it 47 goals in two seasons? Said potentially a couple of more goals in him between now. So if you said 50 over 2 years, and he has missed a load, and I think he'll be the first to admit. And when you actually look at him and work with him, the disappointment is so evident in his body language. You see him after he's battling himself because he wants to do so well and he worked so hard at his game.
Do you think he did see that at the start? I've always thought he kind of got a raw deal at the start when he came in, and it looked to me at one point, maybe he was kind of half arguing with the fans, and maybe his confidence went a wee bit at the beginning.
I think he spoke about that as well, Sid, and I think it's really valid because I think at that particular time, because that would have been under the Beale regime, I think guys like him and Sam Lammers, and they were the go-to... look what we're signed type thing. So obviously Lammers
to come through that, didn't he?
Listen, he's got plenty of character, so he'll keep trapping, he'll keep missing chances, and he'll keep scoring as well.
I think in terms of players, I think Cherney's the one from the opposition. When he gets into the final third, it strikes a wee bit of fear. You think there's danger here. I think he's the guy that I've watched this season, especially in games where there has been a low if something's going to open up, it's more likely than him.
Opposition player. Point of view, Sid, I would be saying to myself, if you can double up on Cherney, then you're then relying on others, and I'm not quite sure that the others have had the same impact as you rightly said there. And so for me, that's the reason why you need Cortez, Danilo, Lawrence, all these other guys to chip in, Bijrami. So you've got all these guys, and I don't think they've kind of helped. And you know, and at times I'm thinking to myself, Big Cyril gets absolutely battered, but there's no a lot of people contributing behind him.
I'd love to ask you who's the worst, but I don't think you'll answer it. So would he be, who's the best trainer? Is Dessers up there?
Big Cyril's appetite for training was absolutely tremendous. Not necessarily in days, but every day he would actually put, I don't know, an extra 20 minutes, half an hour, every day. Whether it be penalties, whether it would be like free kicks, whether it was just shooting. He was constant, and there would be days you were like, listen, we need to come off the legs, we've had a heavy load at the start of the week, and he was raging. He'd be like, ah, and he'd be going mad and all that. He'd be talking the old
different
Flemish
angle. He must say that to you, to be fair.
No, but it was, and I loved it. And there was times I'm going like, listen, the biggie wants you to come in, but you know, but in the main he would shoot every day.
Interesting stuff. Right, okay, we're going to pause and see if you two can get any more on this teaser. So since 2007, five managers other than John McGlynn have won the Manager of the Year whilst not in the top flight. You've got Jack Ross so far.
Struggling.
Callum Davison?
Nope.
Billy Reid?
Yes, Billy Reid at Hamilton would have been first, actually.
Right, okay.
I'll take one more guess.
You know the year he won that? Is a year I came runners up at Dundee, so well done, Billy.
There you go, he's got that one etched in his memory.
That's what he remembers.
He's not bitter.
So I'm thinking of the teams at the bottom. Ross County manager in there?
Yes.
Tam McIntyre?
No,
I'm just.
Ross County.
I'll give you thinking time and we'll speak to Brian on the phones when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're on the home stretch with Simon Donnelly and Alex Ray. We've got a good teaser up and running. They're doing not too badly, and I think it's quite tough as well. So thank you to Grant for sending it in to fulltime@clyde1.com. Can you name five managers since 2007 who've won Manager of the Year whilst not in the top flight? So it's five apart from John McGlynn, sorry. So McGlynn's obviously done it a couple of times. You've got Billy Reid at Hamilton, Jack Ross at St Mirren.
We had mentioned Ross County, so I traced it back. Derek Adams.
Well done. Any what? More guesses?
Tommy Wright?
No. Let's bring Brian in on the phones. How are you, Brian?
Very well. Good. I'm very feeling champion, actually, and I did say that at the beginning of the season. So, you know, for all the guys that are friends of mine that are listening to the radio, I told you so. I don't like doing it, but I do it every season.
You're not getting much credit for predicting Celtic would win the league, Brian. Come on. Even Hugh Keevans couldn't get that wrong.
I'm going to tell you this. I went through the 80s and I had to endure the suffering of not winning the league and expecting not to win the league. So there'll never be anything as a football fan other than total gratitude.
Although I don't doubt you, I don't doubt your happiness. I'm just saying, I think you must have known this season would go well given the strength of the squad and the manager and the history and so on.
There's a certain confidence right now at Celtic Park and around the club, around the football team, around the fans, that it's not entitlement, it's gratitude, as I say. And I get it, you know, we're not all the same, not all fans are the same, but I spend a lot of time with Celtic fans and they feel, you know, we should be winning leagues. If we put ourselves in the right, the board's the best board in Scotland, the team's the best team, we've got the best manager, we should be winning the league. But I would give this league so far 8 out of 10. You know, we're going to win a treble, I hope. We've got one game against Aberdeen. The reason why I gave 8 out of 10 is because there's been troughs. Where the peaks? The highs have been really high. We started off in a two-horse race with Aberdeen. I think it went 14 games and we were side by side. And it was, you know, that was the highlight of the beginning of the season. But the football was good. We didn't get beat. We were scoring goals. Then we came around about the December time, I think it started to kind of like, it went a bit samey and passing the ball across. We got beat a couple of times, which is a tragedy as a Celtic fan right now. A lot of Celtic fans don't know, you know, losing. So you lose a couple of games and you start to go, but in no disrespect in any manner, our main opposition have been ranked rotten most of the season. So we have a duty to kick on ourselves every time. Brendan Rodgers talks about the standard of football that he wants. Well, at times we've seen it a lot, and recently 3-5 nothings in a row, we could have seen a bit better if certain players we had available to us on Sunday. But the fact is, you know, that we have set a standard for ourselves, that height, that kind of football. So when we dip below it, it's like, you know, something's happening. I don't wet the bed like that. You know what I mean? I know that at the end of the day, our cream will rise to the top, our shine will be on the trophies. And I know that. I said it at the beginning of the season. And until something drastically changes, that will be the pattern going forward. Because Celtic, regardless of what injection goes into your opponents anywhere at any team, Celtic are not going to stand still. We do have a duty to move to another level, though. If it comes to Europe, we have Scottish football. Yeah, it's like they're sitting purring waiting for somebody to come on and then maybe kick on. I don't know. But the investment is in place. The infrastructure's in place. I think we could have a better fan experience. That's the only gripe that I've got from the 80s to the, you know, 2025. The fan experience could be better. Kettled for £56 into Ibrox the other day. It was horrendous. First time I've been in 6 years, and I'm not going to say no to a ticket if I'm lucky enough, because gratitude is my compass. But to be treated like that as a 57-year-old man is—it's like, you know, you're in a foreign country, and you know you're in with anybody that's bad. Do you know what I mean?
I just wanted to ask the guys, Brian, on your point about this being a, you know, a pretty good season. Brian was talking about or more than that. See you, Alex, when you're obviously, when things aren't going to plan at Rangers, you also, because you must come at this from a unique perspective as well. You're in the role, but you also know the landscape really well. Absolutely. I mean, before that, you're sort of on here and you know the landscape and you know what's gone before. Is it hard to ignore the fact that you're up against a good version of Celtic as well? You know that way? Yeah. So, like, you'll get seasons where one team will be on top, but you think they can be got at. Did it feel like early in the season that you were up against a good version?
Yeah, I think, there's no doubt about it, Gordon. But the Celtic have been like that for several years. Last year we managed to claw back and make a title race, but then it fizzled out towards the end. And it was probably a bit closer than people would envisage. This season we didn't quite get off to the start. And the one thing that becomes very apparent, Gordon, is that when your opposition are steamrolling, it becomes there. I met Ali McCoist, maybe about 6 weeks, 8 weeks. It was a Tottenham game. And I was like, my God, how many tin helmets do you need here? You know, because the pressure is it's unbearable at times because you're just constantly getting like scrutiny, and it's very difficult when you're not getting the results, Gordon. So, and I would imagine it would be the roles reversed if it was with Celtic. But Celtic are in a very good place. And I've said this, for Rangers to be competing on a regular basis with Celtic, they need to get a structure and an infrastructure in place that's similar to Celtic's. Celtic's club is run brilliantly. You look at their transfer policy. They have managed, I know there's, as said, we were talking earlier on, but the academy has yielded players over the last 15 years. When you think about Callum McGregor, you look at James Forrest, you look at Kieran Tierney, look at Anthony Ralston. Did Scales come through the academy as well?
More latterly brought in, wasn't he?
So you're looking at, so they've still managed to get players in that this current team that have actually yielded numerous trophies over the years, plus a big payday for Tierney. So Celtic's run very, very well, and Brian's right, until Rangers get that structure in place, then, you know, it could be a long haul. And that's the reason why I was saying earlier on, it's so important for Rangers to try and get this deal over the line, try and get some sort of structure. Now, obviously, they've got a director of football in now, and Philwell. And the interesting thing about that is you have to go back. I'm trying to think when they left. So there was a director of football left, the chief executive left last summer, said there's nobody in position, nobody in post. The academy director for the kids left last year, they're still not been replaced. So these positions need to... and then obviously you've got the marketing and all that side of things that can obviously go in a upward trajectory as well. So I think Rangers need to get all that in place as well as on the pitch, Gordon. I think it's invaluable that your club's run properly.
Yeah, because, you know, Brian Wright is also, Celtic will look to strengthen from a successful position as well, won't they, Simon?
Of course they will. Of course they will. And I think everything that Alex talking about there, it's probably the opposite of Celtic. They are in such a good place, strength-wise, financially, squad-wise. Manager there knows what he wants, always striving to get that little bit better. The European thing, I think, has been a success this season. The new Champions League worked and suited Celtic. I think they have to build on that. I think the fans want the excitement from those games. But like Brian said there, I think he's referring to the 80s, maybe more the 90s, because I played then. But... I said it in the show a couple of weeks ago, don't get complacent with the winning, because while it's there and while the success is there, sport can change so quickly. And I said as well, my sons only know that a lot of young players, young people out there, success with Celtic. So, yeah, you don't get fed up with winning.
Thank you very much to Brian on the lines. We're almost out of time. Let's round off the teaser if we can. Thanks again to Grant for sending it in. Who were the five managers, apart from John McGlynn, who've won the Manager of the Year whilst not in the top flight? Billy Reid at Hamilton, Derek Adams at Ross County, Jack Ross at St Mirren.
Trying to think what other teams.
Well, you've overlooked that period when some of our biggest clubs weren't in the top flight.
So it'd be Hibs and Hearts.
And
Robbie Nielsen.
The other one.
Rangers.
So Warburton.
Mark Warburton, 2015-16 season. Wow. And I would say this is one of the harder ones. Who was the Queen of the South manager? 2012-13, he won it. Your clue for this is that his son is currently playing in Austria. Played in the Champions League this season. Got in the Scotland squad.
Queen of the South?
That's a good clue as well.
Well, if you don't know off that, then you'll be struggling. His son's name is Max. Oh, come on.
Max
Johnston. Alan Johnson.
Alan Johnson, Magic Johnson, I played with him enough. Jesus.
Were you going to say you didn't know they were father and son? Is that the issue here?
Yeah.
Oh, for goodness sake. We're back tomorrow at 6 with Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. Thank you to Alex Ray, Simon Donnelly. Thanks for calling, tweeting, and listening. See you soon.